The Space Shuttle Discovery is doing an engine test for our broadcast tonight, exclusively for the Phil Hendry Show, and we're very excited. We're very honored to have that. Bob Bakian is in Florida and is at Cape Canaveral. That is, as you probably know, that Cape Canaveral is the launch center, and Houston is the mission center, so that once the aircraft is airborne, then that's when Houston takes over. Bud, you know that?
Yeah, I saw Apollo 13, so I got that all down. Jesus.
What do you mean, Jesus?
I saw Apollo 13 there. I explained it.
Yeah, I know, man, but I knew it before Apollo 13 came out because I read the book, Lost Moon by Jim Lovell.
What book?
It was based on a book called Lost Moon by Jim Lovell, Apollo 13.
Who's he?
Who's he? You remember a guy named Tom Hanks in the movie?
Right.
That was Jim Lovell. He played Jim Lovell.
Now I'm all messed up.
Yeah, well, that's... All right, let me go to Bob Bakian, who is in... Okay, Bob, now, you are in... Where are you right now? In the launch center?
Right now in the launch center, Phil, and I'm talking here with NASA Assistant Director Chris Germain. Chris, what are we about to hear?
Well, Bob, we're going to hear a test of the engine. This is a redesigned engine that we got from the Grumman people, and we're excited about it because we feel that it's going to give us the extra boost that we need. And I'm going to go over here now, and I'm going to consult with some of our scientists.
All right, he's gone now, Phil. I got to tell you and the listeners that Chris is very sensitive. He is probably one of the more sensitive people. He cries easily. So no matter what happens, please just compliment him on his hard work, because they can't get a lot of guys to work here. Now, here he comes. Hold on for a minute.
Did you say something?
No, nothing at all.
Okay, I just got to go. I thought you wanted to talk to me on the radio.
No, I'm fine. I'm just talking to my host back in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to go over here then.
Right. What are you doing?
I got to tell you, the guy, they can't get anybody to be astronauts. Nobody gives a crap anymore, okay? So the guys that they got running this thing are all very sensitive.
They cry easily?
Yes. They go in front of Congress, and Congress will say, well, what are you doing with all of this money that we're giving to space? And they'll all go, you know, they'll start to belly, you know, they'll bawl. So, oh, wait a minute, hold on. Yeah, so anyway, Phil, the weather's really great here, and...
I just noticed you talking again.
I'm talking to the host.
All right, well, we're ready to start, and can I talk to the host?
Sure. Well, don't hold the microphone. I'll hold it. Go ahead.
Hi, Phil. I'm Chris Germain here at NASA.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Very good. It's an exciting day here. We're going to test out an engine, and it's just going to be one hell of a deal. If I could just, can I just be colloquial and just sort of street level with you for a moment?
Sure.
It's going to be one GD wonderful time. All right, Biff, fire it up. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, what's up now, huh? How do you like that? That's going to take us all the way to Mars.
Yeah, that's really great.
Is that it?
No, it's really great, Chris. That's really nice.
Well, that's the engine that I ordered.
And where did you order that from again?
You all.
Okay. So there you have it, Phil.
Wait a minute. That's only the first stage.
Oh, there's more, huh?
Yeah. Here it is again. Now, that's the first stage. Now, once we get into orbit, and then the astronaut goes, all right, launch, you know, the second stage. Woo! And then we'll just kind of kickstart it. And now we're going into space, see? And off to Mars we go.
Isn't that great, Phil?
That's really great, Chris.
You know, I think both of you guys are liars.
No, we're not lying.
Yeah? Well, you don't sound that excited.
No, it's really, really great.
Really?
Yes, it's really great.
Because it's a specially designed two-cycle engine.
Two-cycle?
Yeah, that'll get us to Mars.
Boy, now I know you're lying.
No, I'm not. I swear to God, it's great.
You too?
Yes, I think it's great.
All right, well, here's the return engine, and this is for return entry into the Earth's orbit. Now, as you know, when we come back to the orbit of Earth, we have to hit a very specific angle, or it'll just burn up. You'll burn alive, you know? Can you imagine the astronauts just cooking alive, and no one will really hear their screams? And...
Yeah, okay, fine. Get to the thing, all right?
Yeah, just do it.
Why did he yell?
He's not yelling, really. He's not yelling.
Here it is. This is the re-entry. So now they're coming in, and then the astronaut says, all right, now let's release the parachutes re-entry. Whee! And then it just kind of... And then the parachutes open.
Great.
Yeah, it's great.
Well, gee, thanks a lot for the resounding vote of confidence. You know, I could have gotten Bill O'Reilly. I could have gotten any of the big guys.
It's great, man. What do you want me to say?
I think you're lying, and I think you're lying, too.
I'm not lying. It's great. We really think it's great.
You really do?
Yes, I do.
And I do, too.
Would you swear on a Bible? Oh, has it?
I'll swear on a Bible, yes.
You will. Will you?
Yes, I'll swear on a Bible.
All right, let me go get one. I'll be right back.
Well, there you go, Phil. That's what's...
Is that guy out of his freaking mind? What is that?
I don't know. It's some kind of a sewing machine engine. This guy's nuts. And they got the whole process working on it. They want to save tax dollars, so they're trying to... Will you turn that off, please?
Sorry.
They got a guy named Bud here, too. Must be your twin, Bud.
Yeah, he works over at NASA.
Anyway, that's the way... Here he comes.
All right, swear.
I swear on this Bible that I think it's really cool.
You too, Mr. Henry?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that'll be fun. When we go to Mars.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun when we go to Mars. Wow. Back to you, Phil.
You know what? It suddenly makes sense, Bud.
What?
Your brother works there. That's NASA. Yeah, of course. Of course that's NASA. Your freaking brother works there. They got a two-cycle engine that's going to take us to Mars.
Well, I'm trying to save money.
Save money. 1-800-449-8686... Will you cut that phone off from NASA?
I'm just trying to talk to my brother. I want to know if he heard from Mom.
1-800-449-8686. I think we're planning on doing another webcast before the month is out. There's still 3 weeks left in the month, so I think that we're going to do another one. And, you know, I don't know how many more of these we'll do, because at some point, I just want to tell you, as much as I love to be able to share what we do with you, and it is kind of interesting. I also recognize that what we do is kind of a rare thing, and I don't want to, like, give the secrets of the farm away. You know, and not that I'm worried about people doing the show necessarily, but I will be honest with you when I tell you that this radio show, or what we do on this show, we think is kind of special. And I just don't need a lot of people in this business, the broadcast business. I don't necessarily want to give them a little glimpse into my, you know, this is a business, frankly, that I'm not a big fan of. I mean, I love doing radio. Don't get me wrong, but the business itself, you know, I'm not a big fan of a lot of people in it, and I don't need them sticking their $6.95 into my pockets. They can sit there and look at my show and get their giggles that way. You know, we got a lot of fans of our radio show until it comes time to pull the trigger on sticking us in a few of these stations we could use, right? Then all of a sudden, I can't tell you, when we were at that radio and record seminar, everybody coming up and licking our rear end up one side and down the next, wow, great your show is. When it comes time to actually pull a trigger, and by the way, may I just say one thing? More than one person has said to me, John and Ken, they do the afternoon show on KFI, like for some reason continue to bag on me. Now, I don't know what their problem seems to be, but they, you know, I guess they don't like me because at one time I did the afternoon show and, you know, I used to make fun of John's laugh. And when they were fired by, you know, KFI Jr. and they were on the bricks and they didn't have a job, they showed up over at the museum because there was an event and I was nice to them. And all of a sudden they're like my best friend, you know. Before that, they were on the air when they were over at KFI Jr. They were bagging on me. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I do something they can't do. I don't know. Or because I personally don't think they're very funny, but that's okay. Yeah, you can if you want to. That's fine. I don't think they're funny. There's nothing about them that's even remotely funny or interesting to me. But that's just me. Now, maybe it's because I don't give them my accolades that they're angry, but they're at that museum of radio and television after they'd been fired by KFI Jr., and John's wife is there, who I wouldn't know if I fell over in the street, walking up to me and giving me a big hug and a kiss. Oh, hi. You know, it's funny when you're canned and you ain't got a job. Suddenly, you're everybody's best friend. Is that it? And you cats turn around and you keep throwing. Look, just do your little show and, you know, make sure that no immigrants get in, man, so all the white trash that listens to you can feel safe at night. And leave me alone. All right. And talk. And, you know, one thing about me, I may not be talking to real people all the time, but the calls that I get are at least way more entertaining than the ones you get. But that's, like I said, just my opinion. And I'm way over here now on Extra Sports 570, and you're sitting there with your cackle, and, you know, you're like, dull program. Immigration. What next? I don't know. Do something about the Chinaman, man. I don't care at all about Mexicans. You keep them bull haircuts out of here, though. I'll listen to your show. All right, it's time now to take a look at some of the email. Dear Phil, you filthy freaking racist, John Cobalt. Thank you very much. This says, Dear Phil, unlike many of the ass clowns criticizing your political commentaries, I think it's great you've started to talk about politics again. Look, I haven't started talking about politics again. It just so happens they blew up a train and a bus in London. I particularly enjoy it when you make fun of their emails on your show. I have relatives who live in Iran, and they say most Iranians are really encouraged and excited about what George Bush is doing in Iraq. In fact, their reaction can be summed up in the following paragraph. Finally, a president that's doing something. That's not a paragraph, sir. That's a sentence. And as far as the recent elections are concerned, it was clearly a selection by a so-called ruling clergy rather than election. That Iranian election was really bugging people. When I was at the Team America premiere, guess who interviewed me? Rock the Vote from Iran TV. They have a Rock the Vote over there. That, I don't know, they got a mullah on there going, yeah, everything's good, you know? What's up now, huh? So I rocked the vote, and they wanted me to say Rock the Vote, so I did. Hey, Iran, Rock the Vote. I'm Phil Hendry, and you ragheads should only die. And then it's like, Iran TV, serving all of Baghdad. Or whatever town it is. Please, Phil, I beg of you, do not be discouraged. This guy's got to be from Iran. That line there, I beg of you, sounds like it's right out of a George Montgomery movie. Please, Phil, I beg of you, do not be discouraged and stick it to these walking Andy Gumps who are against, who are against the war and who are sending your hateful, lewd, and invective emails. These are the same turds that flood the Soldiers' Journal blogs with detestable disdain in order to tear down the morale of these. Do they email our soldiers? Oh, man. Well, you know what? Moore started that. Michael Moore's the guy that started that whole thing about take one really, like, sad and lonely soldier, talk him into saying some anti-American stuff, and then just sort of, like, gradually bum all those cats out and do it while you have two hot dogs in your mouth. And, well, hi, Phil. A couple of more favorite lines from Brad and Lisa. Boy, you guys are relentless. Brad and Lisa are always sending me their lines. Brad and Lisa. I bet you it's just Brad and Lisa. What are you doing now? I'm sending another line to the Phil Hendry. Will you get off of the computer? Bobby Dooley, she was talking about her neighbor Janice Greeley. She's a great cook, but a lot of what she dishes up smells like burning hair. David G. Hall said, do you know what it looks like when a child has to hopscotch without leg braces, just crawling from square to square? Oops. Oh, I unplugged my headphones. All right. Thank you, Brad and Lisa. That's a very cool line there from our show. Dear Phil, I'm annoyed that the FCC has forced you to delete the best part of the Ted's of Beverly Hills jingle. You know, we want to put our meat in your beep. Ted should emphasize the generous portions of steak he serves. His new tagline could be, Ted's for thick-cut beef. One taste and you know it's Ted's. Now that's a, it's a chick voice. Ted's for thick cut beef, one taste and you know it's Ted's. Now that's a mouthful. Or, Ted's own voice. I promise one nice piece of beef. Go ahead, taste it. All right. Thanks very much for that, pal. That one comes for us from David. Phil, where the hell has Jim Sadler been these days? Isn't there a new book he's written to explain all this terrorist crap and why we haven't dropped some nukes yet? Bring back Dr. Sadler. Glad to see you're still working at the marriage. You're one of the few in the entertainment business who continues to do so, and that's why I told you in such high, why I hold you in such high regard. I knew you weren't a quitter. Great show as always, Glenn Beck. Now, it says Glenn Beck is a fag. Later, Ryan in Syracuse. Thank you, Ryan. You know, it's kind of cool, man, that Marie and I are hooked back up and doing our thing. And I said to her today, because we had lunch, believe it or not, we had lunch. This is one of the things that, like I was saying to you yesterday, Harry, you know what the moves are, man. You gotta make the moves. So I take her to lunch. And we asked her to this Brazilian place, which is really good. And I said, the best part of it is the kids, because if kids see that you're working on it, then the kids realize that marriage isn't something that just necessarily has to go away, but it can be really bad, but you can still hang together. And because when I was a kid and I lived through a divorce, I got married when I was 8, and I was divorced at 10. It was tough. It was tough for our kids. No, I...
There you go, making a joke, a very tender moment.
Yeah, you know, you're over there picking lint out of your toes, and you just looked up to say that. You're not even listening to anything I'm saying. You're picking crap from between your toes.
It's toe jam.
I know it's toe jam. But you're not even paying attention. As soon as I say something like that, you look up briefly from picking a toe jam out of your toes to say, there you go. Here's one from Scott Hale. Hey, Phil, I can tell from what you've said in the past that you might not give a flying rats about this message, but I have a good follow-up segment for you. Remember a few weeks ago you had a skit where Steve Bozell put a potato in his front pocket, and then he caught... Do you remember this bit? Do you remember a few weeks ago when Steve Bozell put a potato in his front pocket, and then he caught a bunch of heat about it from everyone because it looked like he was trying to make his thing bigger? Well, obviously, it did not work, so here's what happened next. The guy's building on this. Steve is taking a walk along the beach, contemplating a situation when he sees a man up ahead with several women flocking around him. After observing for a few minutes, Steve approaches the man and asks him how it is that he attracts so many beautiful women. The man tells Steve that he puts a potato down his shorts and then jogs along the beach, and the women, who think he, you know, is like endowed, gather around him. So Steve puts the potato down his shorts and tries this, but the women run from him. Steve confronts the man and tells him what has happened, and the man tells Steve, "You idiot, you're supposed to put the potato down the front of your shorts." As opposed to the back, which Steve has done. So Steve decides to sue the state of Idaho, the owner of the beach property, the National Organization of Women, but not the guy on the beach because he's afraid the guy will kick his ass. Sound good? Thanks, Scott Hale. I gave your last name too, Scott, so people can find you in the Yellow Pages. He puts it down the back of his shorts. Hi, Phil. First show I ever heard was the one of your characters, Vernon, maybe, who was umpiring who was umpiring Little League games and giving the kids a Darth Vader death grip. It was Vernon Dozier. He was umpiring Little League games and giving the kids a Darth Vader death grip and would not put up with any crap from the parents either. He was downing beers on his way to ump a game. I was ready to call the cops on this guy. It happened just before the Concorde crash because the next day Margaret Gray was on talking about boycotting anything French. Could it be a flashback? I've been hooked ever since. Thanks for the laughs, T. Do you know who Freddie Soto is? Okay, well, he apparently was a comic in the L.A. area who was a fan of ours, and he just passed on. So there's our email for tonight. And a lot of these requests we will pass on. I got one here that's like 19 pages long. What in God's name? All about the stuff that I've been doing since we, you know, we've been rapping about things. Anyway, I will tell you this because I've gotten a whole bunch of emails. The downloads are fixed now. The podcasts are cool. There is music. I've gotten more than one email from people saying, okay, everything's good. As far as being able to download the streams, I don't know. I thought you were able to do that. Who knows? You know, I'm doing the best I can. And really, all of this is computer geek stuff. Most people listen on the radio like regular human beings.
Well, Phil, it's been quite a week, hasn't it?
It has been frightening, exhilarating. It's. I say exhilarating because when we have these terror strikes now, in a way, they sort of reinvigorate my commitment to, I don't know, civilization.
Well, you know that I am not a very big fan of President Bush's war on terror.
I know that.
But I want to tell you a story. I'm a dentist, which means I do an awful lot of pediatric dental work and orthodontic work. And
for people who should know, that's with children.
That is with children. Now, I have a patient who is a young boy who is Arab American. His name's James Singh. S-I-N-G-H. You might know the name. His father's a very well-known cinematographer in Hollywood. Okay?
Yeah, I'm listening.
So, I found myself yesterday, he came in to have a cast made, a plastic cast made for some braces. We want to put, I want to put, if I can, a retainer that's going to move a couple teeth back for him. So I also wanted to fill a cavity. And I found myself with this young Arab boy sitting in the chair. And I had a dental pick that I was using to try to remove one of the caps. And I found myself on purpose sticking it just right into the gum, you know? You know, Phil? You know?
What? You on purpose?
Yeah, yeah. And I'll tell you why. Because George Bush has created an atmosphere that led to the London bombings. And now when I had an Arab sitting there, and even though he was a little boy, a little innocent boy.
How old is this kid?
About 12 or 13. And I wanted to, and I took the pick, and I wanted to just jam it, and I did, you know. And he was, and I said, "Does that hurt?" And he goes, "Yes, it does." "Oh yeah, really?" And I kept shoving it in there, you know. I said, "Well, it'll just be a second here, James. I'm just trying to loosen the cap." But the pick was nowhere near the cap. I had it jammed up into the tissue of his gum, and I watched it, and I just jammed it some more.
Well, what are you doing that for?
Because I'm so angry at what they did. Okay. George Bush.
What are you doing, man?
What?
What are you, the breathing and, what is that?
I'm getting,
right there. What is that?
I'm getting ready to go to bed. I don't understand.
You're getting ready to go to bed so you breathe different at bedtime? I mean,
you know, your pro-war stance colors everything you do now. Are you aware of that? Everything you do, you're irritated by anyone who is against the war.
Dr. Sadler, I'm hearing you go...
I'm here with my wife, Tiffany. We're about ready to go to bed.
Yeah, Tiffany, that's right. The 20-year-old, huh?
Oh, here we go. So that's it, right?
No, that's not it. I mean, but I just... You know I've got some issues with your lifestyle. You're 53, your 19-year-old wife, you're all ripped and oiled up out on the front lawn doing deep knee bends in a thong.
Yeah? And your point's what?
The whole trip is kind of wiggy to me. Now, you've got a young Arab boy sitting in the chair, and you're freely admitting that you take a dental pick and jam it up into his gum because he's Arab.
Because George Bush has...
Oh, come on, man. Are we... you know, is there any sense... You know, Nietzsche said that hell is the absence of reason. And talking to you is like being in hell. There's no reason. There's no reasoning with you. George Bush. George Bush. These people, man... Look, at George, there's nothing George Bush is going to be able to do.
George Bush right now could end the war on terror, and there wouldn't be any bombings.
Really? Really? Okay, great. You know what he'd have to do, man? You're right. I read that Hitchens article on the air, man. He'd have to get rid of Israel, get rid of Jews, get rid of women who don't wear veils, get rid of music, get rid of dancing.
You know, you're really, really off base. We didn't have no terrorism.
And by the way, for an educated dentist, we didn't have no terrorism.
Well, you have... You have created an atmosphere. I'm trying to tell you what, the fear and the anger that I have about the bombings in London made me, with this kid in the chair, I did things that I wanted to hurt him, and I continued to hurt him. I took the suction tube, and I tried to get one of his tonsils with it. I got to suck some saliva out of your mouth here, James. I hope it doesn't mind. And the kid's all... And it's like, and I found myself almost sadistically trying to suck his esophagus up with this thing. Because
of George Bush. Maybe it's because...
That's right. And I'll tell you something.
There you go again with that. Hey. Hey, Doc.
You're such a child, you know. When you lose an argument, you're such a child.
That's what's happening, man. You're right. I'm losing this argument. You're jamming a tube down a kid's throat trying to suck one of his tonsils up with it. You're sticking a freaking dental pick up into his gum. Why? Because they blew up a train in London, which that poor little boy had nothing to do with, and George Bush made you do it. Why don't you sue George Bush for making you commit a crime?
You can't sue the President of the United States on account it's not constitutional. What a douche. You didn't know that. What are you laughing about?
Just how stupid you are. What a douche.
You know what, Tiffany? Get my thong out. I'm going to bed. Thank you very much, Phil.
Yeah, is that your 19-year-old wife's got to go get your special bed thong? Is that it?
You know, you're so jealous that you don't have a piece of tail like I got here.
Yeah, and by the way, I heard she's about, what, 250?
Yeah, you wish.
Yeah, that's heaven for me, man. Well, nice going, Doc.
You tell George Bush that today, all right, when a kid rinsed and spit, he spit out half of his stomach lining. Thank you so very much. No, sweetie, I want the leopard print. The leopard print. You freaking whore. You know, Phil...
Well, now I know how you treat your wife, man.
You know what? You can go down to hell.
You can go down to hell.
Why you let him have the? Why you give him the satisfaction?
Will you quit cleaning your freaking toe jam out in here and go in the hall? Guy's sitting on the floor with his boots off, cleaning his freaking toenails, and every now and again he deigns to comment to me about my show. And the reason why I'm talking to that guy is that jackball is you heard what he said. He's got a poor little Arab American kid in his dental chair torturing him, and he's blaming Bush for it.
Maybe he's got a point.
If you want to talk to me, get up and come to a microphone. Don't sit there on the floor with your sniffing your finger. 1-800-449-8686. What the hell is the name of this? Comeirca. I don't follow baseball anymore, hardly at all.
Comerica.
Oh, Comerica. How do you call that? Comerica. Comerica is what it is. In any event, that's the new ballpark in Detroit, and I say no, I don't know how. But what this does is, at least it's an all-star game that actually has some meaning for the regular season, because the team that wins, the league that wins, becomes the home team in the World Series, has the home field advantage. It may not sound like much, but they're trying to infuse a little interest into the game of baseball. And so, you know, by winning the all-star game, the American League team will have the home field advantage. The other thing, of course, they talk about in baseball, maybe they haven't talked about it too much in recent days, is because of they supposedly have a money problem there, and they're going to, like, kick some of these teams out. It's fine by me. But they got to change the whole rules around for me. For me to dig baseball again, all kinds of rules have got to be changed. They're going to have to bring in the home run fence. They're going to have to shorten the base paths. For baseball to be interesting to me again, they're going to have to, if you get too good, they kick you out. You're no longer allowed to play. More bad players, that's what I want. Can you imagine that, how bitching that'd be? Some fat slob stumbling around the bases? I think that'd be out of sight. Why don't they have a senior circuit like they have in golf? Get some of those old creeps. You know, they've got a home run fence that's about 150 feet out. And it's about, say, 20 feet from the mound to the batter's box. And, hey, come on, man. Who are the old guys? Reggie Jackson could play. Who else is? Saberhagen could play. Jaeger could play. All those old guys. Garvey could probably still suit up a little bit. The Penguin could probably get into, Mark Grace. Some of these old guys. Sandberg. And Craig Nettles. Craig Nettles. Roy White. Did I tell you about the tape I got of Tommy Lasorda pulling Doug Rau? Raleigh Fingers. Anyway, Lasorda is pulling Doug Rau out of a game. It's the 78 series. Now, I got a tape. It's an audio tape. A lot of people may have this, of the actual conversation that's taking place on the mound, and it's recorded by one of these large dish microphones that can pick up and also I think Lasorda was mic'd for the World Series that year. But what was funny about it is, at Dodger Stadium, they had an organ player named Helen Dell. And you would hear the most charming, don't sit under the... And you can imagine little kids with hot dogs and cotton candies, a beautiful sunny day. And meanwhile, it's sort of, I don't give a crap how many runs up there, you piece of crap. You're screaming at Rau, and there's always a fist fight. But the thing that I remember is John Ramsey was the announcer, and he would say, Greg,
Nettles, third base.
And Nettles is supposed to come to the plate. Well, Lasorda's out there. He's going to pull Rao. And you're you piece of crap. I had to kick your ass. He was ripping this guy. I'd play it for you, but you have to beep half of it out, and I'm getting sick and tired of beeps. I'm not going to play anything with a beep in it again, unless, of course, it's some flashback that we got some heat about. I hate that. Effing this, and a-hole that. You might as well not even say the word. Oh, my God. If it's going to shock the living hell out of somebody, then I won't say the F word at all, and I won't even say effing, because it sounds so bloody lame. I'd just rather say bloody. And if you don't want me to say the A word, A-S-S, then I won't even go. I'll say B-U-T-T or rear end or something that's acceptable so we don't flip out. But you know what? I quit. All right.
Balloon knot.
What do you mean balloon knot? Yeah, that works. Everybody knows what that means. Balloon knot. Dear Phil, first of all, I'd like to tell you, you have a large following at the Oceanside Police Department. All right. The majority of our night is rehashing all of your skits and characters. From time to time when fitting, a line or two of yours is used when speaking to or questioning a suspect. God, I'd like to know what that is. What great responses we get. Anyway, what Star Wars album and track is used for the David Hall's theme music? Now, moving along here on tonight's other crap email. No, it's nice stuff. Phil, here is a latest listener. I finally converted my wife to the world of Phil Hendry. We listened to the show. Oh, I know what it was. This guy said, hey, Phil, here is a picture of my bitch. Put her up on your website, and it's a dog. Dude, I ain't going to put your stinking dog on my wall of female listeners. You know how depressing that is to get a picture of a damn dog? Hey, this is really funny. Here's my bitch. I want real chicks on that freaking wall. And if they don't listen, I don't want their pictures. I don't want your wife that you talked into listening to the show or your girlfriend.
Is she spayed?
Who?
The chick.
It's a dog, you dumbass.
But if she's spayed, maybe you'd be all right.
So anyway, excuse me. Jesus. Bud, would you put your boots back on, will you? Wow. Yeah, look at it. It says wall of female listeners for one reason. Females. Women. Not dogs. I like it when you send a picture of your daughter. A couple guys have sent their infant daughters. Very cute. Love that. That's cool. But please do not, under any circumstances, have your wife stand there holding a picture of me. Come on, go ahead, honey. Because that picture of that chick in Russia, man, I'm taking that down. I finally figured it out. That's his freaking Russian mail order bride, and she didn't know what picture. She thought she was holding a picture of maybe the President of the United States as far as she knew, and she's standing there in the Kremlin. I'm taking that Rusky down. All the other ones are cool. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
I told you what was happening, and we had called the travel agency. And in the middle of this trip...
All right, we're on the air. Hold on. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. I don't have a lot of time. What happened?
You don't have a lot of time. What happened was my wife and I had booked this Caribbean cruise, and we get 2 days out of Miami, and there's a hurricane, and I will tell you that when I find the travel agent that told me...